Hey guys, and welcome back to the Salt Not Sweetener podcast. I am your host, Danielle Townsend. And in today's episode, we are going to talk about turning to God and your moments of overwhelm and your times of hardship. Y'all, I could not think about a topic for today's podcast. And you know, I want God to guide what I speak about. This is his podcast. I'm simply stewarding over it. And when I had come to the conclusion of I have no idea, and maybe I'm just not going to record an episode today, I moved a blanket off my bed and I found this post-it note that I had written on months ago. And something that was written on here that stood out to me was it says, "It feels harder and heavier when I am far from Jesus. Seek him, root myself in the Lord." And that is the basis of today's message, is life is already hard and heavy. It's a lot harder and heavier when you are far from the Lord. And let this be your encouragement that whatever it is that you're dealing with right now, that is stressing you out, that is overwhelming you, whatever thing that you're dealing with that's making you anxious, depressed, sad, fearful, whatever these emotions are that you're feeling, it's going to feel heavier when you are apart from God. When you stop praying to him as fervently, when you stop seeking him, when you stop making that intentional alone time with him, when you start turning to the things that you know he tells you to turn away from, you're putting distance between you and God. And it's going to start feeling a lot heavier. It's going to start feeling a lot harder, because whether or not you realize it, you are starting to pick it up and carry it yourself. You are starting to rely on your own strength. You're starting to rely on your own thoughts, your own reasoning, your own comforts. And God did not create us to do things apart from him. And when you lean into him, you're going to find a rest and a peace that you cannot find in the world. And I'm speaking to y'all today from experience as someone who I did it most of my life relying on myself, relying on my own thoughts, relying on my own reasonings, relying on what my brain and my heart can create apart from God. And you know what that resulted in? Overthinking. A lot of overthinking. I would end up thinking of every possible outcome and every possible solution. I ended up living in a cycle of fear. I was making my decisions out of a place of fear. I was making my moves out of a place of fear. I was more on the defensive. I was moving out of defense and out of more of a reactive space than moving by faith. The decisions I was making was planning according to what bad things could happen instead of moving by faith, what God is calling me to do. I ended up with crippling depression and sadness. There were days when I would wake up and couldn't explain why I was sad. I was just sad. Days when I'd wake up and I was just angry and I couldn't explain why I was angry. I'd be experiencing situations I'm supposed to be grateful for and finding joy in, and instead I'm complaining and thinking, well, this isn't going to last. When's the other shoe going to drop? There was always some fear or some negative thought I was feeding into. I ended up with panic disorder and anxiety. I ended up as a people pleaser. I ended up putting God on the back burner. I'm telling y'all that when you turn away, when you are in these hard situations, that is when you turn to God. And someone needs to hear today that you are meant to do that for the rest of your life. I cannot tell y'all how many conversations I've had where it's evident that spiritual warfare is going on in someone's life. Y'all, I will be the first to say this. When you start seeking God more, when you start praying more, when you start reading your Bible more, when you start denying the flesh, the devil is going to make it so uncomfortable for you because he wants you to stop. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He does not want you to have a relationship with Christ. So when you are doing the right thing, he is going to attack you more than ever. He's purposely going to make it hard for you to continue. He's purposely going to do that. Y'all, when I first surrendered my life to Christ and I was trying to read my Bible more, I remember there were days when people would just be like the situation I was in when I was like in my car. And there would be someone around me just blasting music all day and like all these things distracting me to where I couldn't focus. And it was triggering anger and it was triggering frustration. Times when I was putting my faith in God and there would be people coming up to me and straight up speaking death into my situation, saying God isn't real and God isn't going to move mountains and God isn't going to help you. When God would be telling me, hey, I'm going to do something amazing in your life. I'm going to restore you. And then I would have a lot of hardships immediately hit after, and my situation would not look like what God promised. That was an attempt of the enemy to get me to stop putting my faith in God. When you are on the right path, the devil is going to do whatever he needs to do to convince you to backslide, to convince you that putting your faith in God isn't working, to convince you that seeking God isn't working. And I'll tell you what, almost every person I have talked to has found peace in times of trouble when they're reading their Bible and spending time with God. I know that was one of the first things I noticed when I gave my life to Christ was a peace that surpassed all understanding. When a stressful thing would come up, I could give it to God and walk away and trust it would be taken care of. I could leave a situation with peace. When I would start dealing with stress or anxiety or panic, and I would start reading scripture and praying to the Lord, and all of a sudden I would have peace that made no sense. That is a promise of God being fulfilled when you seek Him and lean into Him. Think of the story of Hannah and Peninnah, y'all. Hannah had been struggling with infertility for years, Peninnah making her feel like crap about it. And when she went to the temple and overwhelmed, poured out her heart to God, she left that temple with a peace. Her situation hadn't yet changed. She wasn't pregnant yet. Peninnah wasn't wiped out. Nothing had changed except for her. She had placed her faith in God and she had trusted that she gave it to him and he was working. As followers of Christ, we are able to access a peace in the middle of the storm. But that comes through giving it to God and laying it at his feet. And I'm telling y'all that when you don't do that, when you choose to lean into the worldly advice, when you choose to go back to the things that bring you short-term comfort and those quick dopamine hits that you know God is calling you to stay away from, when you choose to turn on and binge watch those shows instead of getting into the word, when you choose to go back to that drink or that smoke instead of praying, when you choose to get on social media and gossip and rant and take your anger out in those ways, instead of praying, reading scripture, taking it to God, spending intentional alone time with Him, it feels good in the moment. And then later on, your situation feels even heavier. Because whether or not you realize that you're starting to put the weight and the responsibility of the problem on your shoulders when you're meant to be sharing the load with God. He's meant to be your strength. And there's some different pieces of scripture I want to read to y'all today. I want to start with Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Whatever you are dealing with today that is emotionally compromising you, that is having you feel overwhelmed, in your intentional time with God, tell Him about it. Yes, He already knows, but He wants to hear it from your mouth. He wants you to entrust Him with it. So go into your prayer closet, go into your bedroom. Go into your bathroom, wherever it is that you can have intentional quiet time with God, and tell Him what is stressing you out. Tell Him, God, this thing is causing me to feel overwhelmed. God, I don't have the strength to do this on my own. I don't have the ability to figure this out. Be honest with Him about what it is with the situation that is stressing you out. Is it the lack of control? Is it the lack of understanding? Is it the feeling of injustice? What is it that is making you feel the way you're feeling? Take it to him. He already knows, but he wants you to trust him with your problem. And now this is the key thing to prayer, because a lot of us think of prayer as just asking for something and just talking at God. Prayer is the way that we build our relationship. And you should not just be praying to God when you need something. You should be praying to him, telling him what you're grateful for. You should be praying to him for guidance, for clarity, for understanding, not just for a blessing. You should be praying to him for other people, on other people's behalf, interceding. Praying with God is like talking to your parent. How can you have a relationship with someone without intentional alone time with them, without intentional conversations? So part of prayer is actually listening, right? So you're spending this intentional alone time with God. You're telling him what's on your mind. You're telling him what's wrong. You're pouring out these emotions. But then comes a time when you're supposed to be listening to what he's saying to you. Is he speaking scripture to you? Is there scripture that's coming to mind after your prayer? Is there a past scenario or a situation that he's bringing to mind? A great thing to do after you pour this out is ask God to guide you. Ask him to soften your heart and to humble you to his answer. Pray that you accept God's answer and that you obey him. Y'all, it was literally just today that there was a big decision I had to make. What appeared to be a blessing and an open door made itself known to me recently. And at first I jumped up to accept it, but the more I was thinking on it, the more I was like, God, although this looks really good in a lot of areas, there are other areas where I don't know if this is from you. I don't know if this is what you have been telling me about. And I feel like I'm acting too quickly. And you might actually want me to go in a different direction. And I was really wrestling with, do I close this door and trust that God will lead me towards the promise? Or do I accept this because it's close enough and out of fear of God not delivering on his promise is the best way I can word it. When I really thought about it, the other option is accepting this door out of fear that another one won't open. When I started praying to God, where I was like, God, I don't want to make the wrong decision. I need to hear from you. Like, I need you to show me. I need you to reveal this to me. I need you to guide me. And I was actually in the bathroom praying that prayer. And I just had a moment of silence, and it was like not even 30 seconds later that he started bringing to my memory a lesson that he had taught me just over a year ago about releasing things to him and trusting him. And in that moment, I knew exactly what he was telling me. And I knew that he was guiding me to listen to what he had already been placing in my heart. I had already known that he was calling me to give this thing back to him and to trust that he would deliver on his promise and not to settle in the situation. And him reminding me of a past situation where he called me to do that was the confirmation from him. And since then, he has given me scripture to back it up. But if I had not sat and listened and just allowed him to speak back to me and accepted the way he was speaking to me, I would have said, God didn't answer me. If I would have prayed, God, close that door yourself. Do that yourself. You know what? Interesting enough thing. I found out that that door was probably going to close anyway. If I didn't close it, I think God was going to close that door for me. I do think he was going to. But I could have been stubborn and hard-headed and said, I'll only walk away if you close the door, God. And you know what? There have been situations, y'all, where I've been very hard-headed, but also really raw and honest with myself, where there were some things that I could not physically let go of. And I told God, like, God, if this thing's removed from my life, I need you to rip it away. And I know it's going to be painful, but I can't bring myself to let go of it. And he has answered that prayer too. And that prayer is painful. But I'm telling y'all that part of prayer is listening and accepting God's answer. Because what God told me to do at the end of the day was to deny myself. and to trust that he was going to pull through. And that wasn't exactly easy to listen to. My flesh didn't want to hear that. My flesh wanted to go through with the door, wanted to walk through the door. You have to be okay with God's answers being no or not yet, and submitting to them. You have to be okay with God not giving you the full picture or all the answers. Faith isn't knowing. We walk by faith, not by sight. Faith isn't being able to see and understand the game plan. Faith is trusting God. And notice how when I was reading this in Philippians to y'all, it says that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When you pray to God, and it's a situation that you're leaving at his feet, the majority of the time, it's not an immediate, like you say, God, I give this to you, and it's like 10 seconds later, you get a phone call of like all your situation is worked out, or you get a text or a DM and it's all worked out. Oftentimes, the first answer you're going to get from God is a peace. When you submit and surrender it to him and say, I can't work this out, I can't figure this out, I need you to work this out and figure this out. There is a peace he'll give you of leaving it at his feet, where you just know and believe that he is working it out. And from there on, oftentimes you'll have the temptation to pick it back up, and you have to make the decision to continue to entrust it to God. But there is a peace that surpasses all understanding that you will find when you pray and give it to the Lord. Prayer is our relationship with God. Prayer isn't just a direct line for help. Prayer is our relationship builder with Christ. Now I want to read to y'all Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me. This is Jesus speaking. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I want to pause this for a minute right here. Come to me. Jesus is telling us to bring our burdens to him. That thing that you're stressed out about, that thing that you're panicked about, as I said earlier, y'all, he wants to hear about it. He wants you to give it to him. He's waiting on you to give it to him. He is never going to be annoyed with you coming and giving it to him, because he is our strength. There is not too much that you can give to God. Give it all. He wants your entire life. He wants you to lay your life down. There is some scriptures reading this morning, y'all. 2 Corinthians 5:15. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Jesus literally expects us to give our lives to him. Don't you think that includes our worldly problems? Remember that when Jesus Christ went to the cross and raised from the dead, he literally conquered wickedness and evil. He sealed the deal that one day Satan is going to be locked away for eternity in hell, like literally gone. We are operating out of a space of victory when we are operating through Jesus Christ. So when you give it to him, it's not is he going to be able to take care of it? He is going to be able to take care of it. The world has lost in the grand scheme of things, meaning the worldly ways of solving things. Where is that going to lead? Death, separation. And remember, y'all, the devil, the enemy, wants you to believe in the deception. He tries to convince you that trusting in God is too hard, that it's not working, that prayers aren't being heard, that God has left you. None of that is real. But the devil wants you to believe that, so that way you may turn to the world, turn to yourself, turn to Satan, and away from God, away from prayer, away from faith. I want to continue reading Matthew 11, 28 through 30. It says here, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Jesus is literally offering for us to give him this weight that we are carrying, and he will give us something lighter to carry, which is living for him, submitting to him, obeying him. And I'm not saying that it's always an easy thing, because in obeying Christ, we're going to have to go against the world. The world hates Jesus. Of course, it'll hate us when we're doing things that Jesus calls us to do. But Jesus assures us that obeying him, trusting in him, abiding in him is much easier than doing it alone in this world, than doing things apart from him. Remember, the devil hates you. Satan hates you. We are created in God's image. We have the opportunity at forgiveness and eternity with the Heavenly Father. Satan doesn't have that. He was kicked out of heaven because of his pride, because of his ego, because he thought he could be like God. Has he repented? Will he repent? No. We know this from reading scripture. So don't think for a second that those whispers Satan is whispering in your ear, those false ideas of comfort, because we know from reading scripture that he masquerades as an angel of light. Don't think for a second that he cares about you, or that he's trying to help you or bring you comfort. All he's trying to do is get you to put your faith in things outside of Jesus Christ, because that way he can block you from heaven. He doesn't have to get you to worship him. He just has to get you to turn away from God. He has to get you to turn away from Jesus and take your faith away from Jesus. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy God's creations, and you are one of them. Don't think for a second he has your well-being in mind, your eternal well-being. Let's read some more scripture, y'all. Psalms, we're going to be in Psalm 91, verse 15. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Y'all, there is this lie that the enemy loves to tell you. The enemy loves to say, God won't come. God won't help you. God won't hear your prayers. That's too big for God. God has turned from you. That is a lie. And right here is a promise from God that when we call to him, meaning when we call out for his help, when we go to him in faith, when we go to God actually believing that he has the ability to change the situation, believing that he will use this for our good, when we go to him in faith, he will answer us. And remember, y'all, we have to listen. There are a lot of times God is answering, but you aren't listening. And you're walking around thinking he said no. When he said not yet, you're walking around thinking he didn't answer when you walked away before he could respond. When you tossed up your prayer and went on your day and started consuming social media, Facebook, Reels, talking on the phone, going to work. A lot of us distract ourselves with work and busy moving throughout the day when we should be sitting and praying. Did you walk away before God could respond? Did you start occupying your brain again before you could receive, before you could hear from him? Because God says here, I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. You can be in the lowest of your low and God will rescue you. Y'all, I have told you about how God restored me. I was in the lowest of my low. I was like literally living in my car in the middle of the desert with no money to my name, my reputation, the lowest I had ever been. I turned away from God and turned to New Age spirituality. And he told me if I put my faith in him, he would restore me. Do you know how much faith I had to have that he was going to do that? And he did it. I was in the deepest pit. Y'all, when I would be reading those psalms and say like my soul is down in Sheol and he'll save me from Sheol, that's how I felt. I felt like I was the lowest of the low I could be without being in hell. And there were times I was thinking, could God fix the situation? I was like, because he would have to bring me money in a miraculous way. He would have to do, I don't know, how is it possible to restore reputation? How is it possible to do all these things? He did things that I could not do for myself. He restored relationships I couldn't restore. He got me jobs I couldn't get. He got me into places. He opened doors I could never open for myself or even think to open for myself. He made things work out in ways that I couldn't think to make them work out in a million years. I have modern day living like testimony to him saving and rescuing you when you call out to him in prayer and you listen to his answer. When God said he would restore me, he gave me some things, y'all, and I didn't want to listen to him all at first. He told me, you're going to move back to Indiana. I didn't want to move back to Indiana. I was already in California. It's a drive through mountains. There were people I didn't want to see back in Indiana. I didn't want to go back to my old life. I didn't see how God would use that obedience to rebuild relationships, to lead me to my church. That act of obedience was actually what he was going to move through. When he said he would restore me financially, I was ready to jump up and labor and get a job, and he told me to wait on him. I didn't know if that meant he was going to give me a job, if there was going to be money, like what was going to happen. And he ended up giving me a financial blessing through an act of obedience to move me back to Indiana to then get me a job. God gave me a promise, but I had to trust in his guidance. And the only reason, y'all, why I knew to wait, and the only reason why I knew to move and to do these things was because I prayed to him and I waited on an answer. And when he gave me that answer, I didn't say, but this, but that, and try to ask him for a new one or anything. I said, okay, this is your answer. And I'll be so transparent. That wasn't always me. At first, when I was hearing from God, I'd say, but God, I don't like that way. You're going to have to do something else. But what about this? But what about that? And then I had to recognize that was pride and ego because I was thinking my way was better than God's. I was trusting in my understanding and my sight over God's understanding and his sight. And he sees a lot more than I see. My restoration, y'all, my testimonies were based off of obedience to God. It wasn't anything I created for myself. I was obeying God and submitting and saying yes. I was putting my faith in him and trusting in his planning and his abilities. I believed his word. And the only way I was able to know his word was I was in his word. Some of y'all need to hear about the parable of the sower. When God will give somebody a word, he will give you a promise. He will say, I'm going to restore you. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to do that thing. And the devil, best believe it, when God gives you a promise or a word, the devil very quickly tries to come along and steal it away. People who aren't rooted in the word, people who don't know God's word, are able to be swayed pretty quickly. All it takes is someone coming around that sounds a little bit holy. And because you don't actually know what the Bible says, you start believing in half-Christian words. Or you start believing the lies of the devil, the lies of the enemy. When he comes and says, God didn't really say that, you're quick to believe God didn't say it. Or because your circumstances don't immediately look like God's promise, you stop believing in God's promises. Y'all, when God told me he was going to restore me, my life didn't immediately get better. Actually, things around me started falling through more. It looked like I was like cursed. I was like, God, are you sure you're going to bring me money? Because I'm actually losing money. God, are you sure my reputation's going to be restored? Because people are starting to make fun of me. Like, God gave me a promise, and then my situation actually started to look worse. It looked like doors were being opened and slammed in my face. And that was the enemy trying to get me to lose faith and to lose heart. That was him trying to steal the seed before it could take root. But it was able to take root. And y'all know how it was able to take root? When God gave me a word, I put my faith in him and I stayed rooted in prayer. I continued to read my Bible. I continued to get to know God more. I know God more, a lot more now than I did back then because I continued to be in scripture. I continued to pray. I continued. When God gave me those promises, it was months before I saw a lot of things pick up. There's some things, y'all, I'm still waiting on. It's been years. But I still have faith. And I'm not saying that faith wasn't attacked. It was. That faith hasn't always been perfect. But a big sign of my faith is I still am not trying to create for myself in that area. I'm still waiting on God. And someone needs to hear today, do not lose faith in the promises from God just because your surroundings don't match up with it. There's a reason why scripture says walk by faith, not by sight. You have to have faith in what God says over what you see around you. If you trust in what you see around you, you're never going to move by faith. You're never going to see the promises of God. Because things happen in the spirit before they happen in here in the physical where you can see it. Haven't you noticed that right before breakthroughs and blessings happen, there's a lot of warfare? You notice there's arguments, fallouts, breakdowns, all these different things. Because things are happening in the spirit before we see them in the physical. Meaning the devil is seeing them too. He knows you're about to receive that blessing. And he's trying to get you to fudge it up. He's trying to get you to move out of position. He's trying to get you so like ungrateful and in a negative space that when the blessing comes, you don't see the blessing, but you pass it up. He wants you to get so fearful that you move before God, that you settle, that you do that thing that God's telling you not to do. I want to read a little bit more scripture to y'all in Psalm 91, y'all. And this is verse 11. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands, they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. You know what I thought about reading that scripture? I didn't plan to read that scripture to y'all today. That is the scripture that the devil read back and twisted to Jesus when he was trying to tempt him in the desert, in the wilderness. When Jesus Christ went into the wilderness, y'all, he had just gotten baptized. He had just heard John the Baptist. Like John the Baptist, like proclaim him, saying like, this is the person I've been waiting on. He had gotten baptized and God had spoken to him and said, this is my son with whom I am well pleased. He had just heard from God that God was pleased with him. God had just claimed him as his son. He had just stepped, like taken a big step into his ministry, right? And right there in the moment, so you would think, because God just gave him that promise and that beautiful thing, a lot of us would think, okay, things are going to look really good. Things are going to be really easy now, right? Wrong. Immediately after that, where was Jesus led? He was led into the wilderness, into like the desert area for 40 days to fast, which to us would be being led into a struggle period. Right after God blesses, right after God gives you a word and says, I'm so happy with you, I'm so pleased with you, and you're led immediately into a struggle bus season, a wilderness season, where Jesus was without. He, no food, no water, fasting 40 days. And while he's out there in the middle of nowhere, the devil comes and tries to tempt him, you know, saying, if you're really the Son of God, turn the stone into bread. When he knew he had a command to be, when he knew he was supposed to be fasting, the devil trying to tempt him to break his fast, to disobey what God had already told him to do. He's like, nah. You shouldn't live on bread, but you should live on the word of God. Someone needs to hear that today. Put aside the fleshly things that are bringing you comfort and turn to the word of God. That is what you should be feeding on right now. When you're going through it mentally, emotionally, you should be feeding on the word of God, not AI, not TikTok, not Facebook, not listening to other angry people agree with you about being angry. You need to be in the word of God. But see, this was something that the devil tried to tempt him with. The devil tried to get Jesus to off himself, to throw himself down, to put God to the test. He was saying, throw yourself down from this mountaintop, from this cliffside. Because doesn't scripture say that like he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways? on their hands, they'll bear you up lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus, remember, he had responded back, and I'm quoting this from memory, y'all. So bear with me if the words are scrambled. But Jesus said back to him, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." That was the devil trying to get Jesus to step out of God's will, to harm himself, to hurt himself, to test if God was actually going to show up or not. The devil was trying to twist scripture. Because does the Bible say that he will command his angels concerning you? Yes, it does. But what is the context? You guys need to know the word of God and the context. There are so many people who are tricked out of their promise, who have peace and lose their peace, are tricked out of their peace, are tricked into picking something back up, are tricked out of putting their faith in God because they believe in the manipulated Bible verses. Because they're not rooted in the word, because they say, well, God knows my heart, well, I have discernment, I don't need the word. No, the word actually strengthens discernment. You're following your heart, let's be real, and the heart is deceptive. I cannot tell y'all how many people I see that say, I don't need the Bible, I don't need to read all that. God will guide my heart. The devil will be whispering in your ear the whole way too. How do you know the difference? You need to be rooted in the word. God's word is how you're able to hold things up and see things that sound holy that aren't from God. And because Jesus was constantly in prayer with the Heavenly Father, because he knew God's voice, because he knew the context, because he was rooted in scripture, he was able to decipher and discern that to be a lie. You need to know the context. I cannot tell y'all how many people, for example, quote Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see how many athletes put that on their face, how many people put that in their bios, and they take that as I can do anything. Like, I can do anything. If I have God, if I'm praying to God, I can do anything. Anything I set my mind to, I'll be able to achieve. I'll be able to accomplish. When if they read the context, they would see what Paul was actually saying. And right before that, Paul says, I have learned to be, and I'm just quoting off memory, y'all, I have learned to be content in all situations, in the hills and in the valleys. Paul's talking about how he's been in situations where he has had nothing and still moved by faith. In times when he has had everything and still moved by faith. And that he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. Meaning it doesn't matter if he has nothing to his name. It doesn't matter if his situation looks dry, pointless. If he's up against an appearing to be undefeatable person. If he's up against a Goliath. If God is on his side, he will be able to achieve it if God has called him to it. If God's hand is in the situation. Saying despite his circumstances, even if it looks dire and unwinnable, if God has decided the situation is a win, it will be a win. That's not saying if you have decided you want it and you have decided this way. It's if God has. Christ strengthens you when Christ is supporting that, right? Just for an example of a situation God isn't going to support, God isn't going to strengthen. For an example, he's not going to strengthen you going into a marriage and taking someone's husband or taking someone's wife. You're going to have to do that one on your own, buddy. If God has called you to teach, but you decide that you want to be an influencer or a singer, you're going to be doing that on your own strength. You want to toss away a blessing God has given you. You want to toss away a promise God has given you. You're going to be doing that on your own strength. So many people twist Philippians 4:13 to I can do whatever I want if I pray to God. You have to know the context. The devil will be quick to flip scripture and take it out of context to trick you out of your spot. You need to know the word of God. Psalm 56, verses 3 through 4. And this is the last scripture I wanted to mention today, y'all. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? When I am afraid, I put my trust in God. Meaning, when I am fearful, when I don't know the outcome, when I don't know what to do, when I am scared, when I am put in a position of fear, I'm going to turn to God. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to seek His will. I'm going to get in the Word. And God, whose Word I praise. Some people are going to hate to hear this today, but you need to hear it anyway. You have to accept every word of God, not just what makes you feel good. Denying the flesh goes for all the flesh, not just bits and pieces of it. I know so many people that are down to say, okay, can't gossip, can't lie, can't do all these things. But the second it comes to fornication, the second it comes to sex outside of marriage, they don't want to hear it anymore. The second it comes to looking at people lustfully, the second it comes to forgiving your enemies, they don't want to hear it, or they want to pick and choose which enemies. They only want to forgive the enemies from 25 years ago. They can't forgive the enemies that made themselves enemies yesterday. You have to accept all of God's word, not just part of it. You have to praise His word. Now, I'm not saying to idolize. We should not be idolizing the Bible. That should not be above God. But the Bible was a gift given to us from God. This is the living, breathing Word of God. This is God. God is the author of the Bible. And the people who wrote the different books were the transcribers, people who heard from God and wrote down His Word, people who saw moves of God and wrote it down for us. You cannot be a Christian, love Jesus, follow Jesus, but not love the Word of God. Jesus is literally the Word made flesh. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. When you put your faith in God, He will take that fear away from you. Now, it may try to creep back up, but when it creeps back up, you put your faith in God again. You give it to God again. If you have to lay it down at the altar 50 times, you keep laying it down at the altar. Remind yourself of who God is. Get in the Word. Remind yourself of what God is capable of. Read about how He did it with the Israelites in Egypt. Read about how He delivered on His promises. Read about what He did for Joseph. Read about what Jesus Christ going to the cross did for us. There are so many examples in the Bible of God and His promises and how He keeps them. And someone needs to hear this today. What can flesh do to me? That's what we just read. And God, whose word I praise, and God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? You need to start walking around with that energy. If God is with me, what can be against me? Weapons may form. But those who have their faith in God, weapons that form will not prosper. God never promised a weapon wouldn't form. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that when you're reading scripture, when you're putting your faith in Jesus, when you're denying the flesh, it's going to get easier. Nowhere in the Bible does it say the warfare is going to stop. But you do read to not be afraid of men. Don't fear the one who can kill the body. Fear the one who can kill the soul and the body. You fear God over you fear men. It says here, what can flesh do to me? If God is with you, who can stand against you? If God has decided you're going to win in that situation, sure, the weapons may form. The devil might try to get in your head. He might try to delay you. He might try to backtrack you. But if God has already anointed you for the situation, you're putting your faith in Him. You're doing what God calls you to do. You're playing by God's rules. Those weapons forming aren't going to prosper. And there's a real temptation. When you're doing it God's way, to stop. The devil will do that. He will try to get you to think, well, you've already done God's way this far enough. Let's do it flesh for a little while. Let's do it worldly for a little while. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell. Do not give the devil an inch. Nowhere in scripture does it say when you check all these boxes as a Christian, the warfare is going to stop. Nowhere. Does it say that? But what are the different verses we read today? Talking about how when you face that warfare, There is a rest and there is a peace, and God will fight your battles. You need only be still. I'm telling y'all today that your problems are going to feel heavier the more you distance yourself from God, from His Word, from communication with Him. But when you lean into Him, despite the opposition, you will find a peace. You will find victory in Christ Jesus. And I know the flesh may be telling you to lean away, to lean back to your old comforts, to go back to those things that you usually turn to, whether it's crashing out, lashing out, posting, whatever it is. Listen to Jesus instead. You'll never regret listening to God. You'll never regret waiting on God, because he will do exceedingly and abundantly ever better than you could create for yourself. And then some. But you will always regret not trusting God and not waiting on God. Now, I pray that this episode blessed y'all. And I want to remind you so heavily, guys, I am not speaking this to you from some mountaintop, like I am set apart from all of this. I am able to speak to y'all about this with such enthusiasm and authority because I have experienced this. Most of my life, I was relying on myself instead of God. I know firsthand what the warfare is like when you're relying on your own strength. I know firsthand the temptations to go back. I know firsthand what it's like to stumble and backslide and have to repent. I know what it's like to believe the lies of the enemy and start doubting God. I know what it's like to start getting angry and thinking God isn't working in your situation. I am not speaking to y'all as someone who is better than or hasn't experienced this or has gotten around it. I'm speaking to y'all as someone who has, and I have stumbled, and I have tripped, and I have had moments where I've seen through the lies of the enemy and gotten to bypass that. Glory be to God. But I've also believed the lies of the enemy, stumbled, and had to look to God to help me up. I'm speaking to y'all as a sister in Christ that is lovingly trying to help you through this season. And I pray that God is speaking through me today, that the Holy Spirit is speaking through me today and ministering to you in ways that you didn't even realize you need ministered to. I pray that whatever it is you are carrying, you give it to God, and that you too experience the peace that surpasses all understanding, and that when you face the next hardship, the next storm, you remember the peace that God gave you. And you remember the tactics of the enemy. And you choose to put your faith in God. And I do pray that your scripture reading increases, that you are rooted in the Word, and that you memorize scripture, and that you have it hidden in your heart. So that way when the devil comes and tries to manipulate scripture, you know the context. You know God's will. You know what God's Word says. And these out-of-context quotations, these twisted words, aren't going to trip you up for nobody. And I just want to thank y'all for listening to today's episode. And I pray that it blesses you. And I do ask you to hit subscribe wherever it is you're listening to this podcast. Share it. Share this podcast with your friend, your family member. Share it on social media. Share the podcast with whoever it is that the Lord is putting it on your heart to share this podcast with. And I will see you guys next time. This was the Salt Not Sweetener podcast. My name is Danielle Townsend, and I am so grateful that you chose to listen today. God bless.